Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. The Bible says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Heavenly Father, pray, Lord, that you would help us, dear Lord. As we continue this study, Lord, may we be prepared for the battle ahead. And Lord, may we be engaged each and every day for the cause of Christ, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I study things. I make a study, a science out of things. I will tell you, Jay Reed and Tony Wood and Doug Castle this week was giving me a hard time. I'm getting ready to turn 60. And Jay Reed says, "Don't worry about it. Ross has studied the 60s. I didn't know if he meant about the 1960s. We ought to be worried if he was talking about that. And they give me a hard time because in conversation one time, we were talking about the different seasons of life. And I said, "Oh, yeah, I started this in my 20s. Every time I get ready to go into a new decade, I interview people that have been through that decade and have done it successfully. And I talk to them about the hurdles and the challenges and the and so I studied the 30s before I went into them, and I studied the 40s and I studied the 50s. They're like, "Don't worry about it. Ross has got this. He's studied the 60s. He knows what's waiting for him." Yeah, right. All right. I don't know if any of us know everything that's waiting for us, but I will say this. You know, we shouldn't go into things blind. We ought to talk to people. We ought to get counsel. We ought to study the Bible. I don't think we ought to enter into any new phase or any new endeavor without having studied it, making it a science. If we were going to, Brother Steve, talk about the Vietnam War tonight, if I was going to have a talk about the Vietnam War, you know, probably the best person to do that wouldn't be me because I didn't fight the Vietnam War. You know, if we were going to talk about World War II, they're getting harder to find, aren't they? World War II vets, there's a few left, but not many. Be nice to get somebody in here that actually fought it. You know, the Korean War, any war, you know, you either were there fighting it and you have experience in it, or all that you can do is read about it. By the way, sometimes all we can do is read about it. I want you to look right up here. Spiritual warfare is not something I've just studied from afar. It's something I've been engaged in since I was a 17-year-old boy. And when I gave my life to Christ and picked up the banner of the cross and the sword of the Spirit and began to understand how to win against the devil. Listen, he's a defeated foe. And, you know, it's amazing to me how many Christians allow their lives to be controlled by an unemployed archangel. Okay? And I want you to understand, I'm not saying those things as if I have the power in me to defeat the devil. I don't. But I got a big brother. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And folks, listen to me. I believe this on my heart. The devil cannot win any victory in our lives unless we hand it to him. What we've got to stop doing is handing it to him. Okay? And a lot of those losses that we experience is because he's very deceitful. He's very deceptive. He's very good at what he does. But the more that we learn about him, the less chance that he's going to pull one over on us. So I haven't always got it right. I certainly haven't won every engagement against the enemy, but I've been doing this for a long time. You're going to hear somebody that teaches this series that understands spiritual warfare. I understand it. I've studied it. Yes, Doug, Jay, Tony, I've made a science of it. You know why? Because if I don't and if you don't, you're not going to survive it. And some of the things I'm going to teach on, we're not going to rush into this. We'll get to the armor of God eventually. But honestly, until you really understand your enemy, you're not going to be motivated to put on the armor of God. Having said what I said about the devil, folks, listen to me. He's really, really good at what he does. And he's taken out better Christians than Jerry Ross. And he's taken out better Christians than you. One of the things we better do is understand that we cannot just wander out into this world every day acting as if we do not have a very skilled and very deadly enemy. I could have spoken on our enemy, the devil. I did one lesson. I know we could do several more. But I'm going to lay some groundwork. And today I'm going to talk a little bit about Satan, but I'm also going to talk about Satan's invisible army of devils. And that's going to be the focus of the next couple Sunday nights that I teach on this. There's a book that I produced for young people entitled A Teenager's Guide to the Invisible Creation. I look back, I have more adults buy that and read it than I do teenagers. I probably should have called all of those guides the Christian Guide to the Invisible Creation, because whether you're a teenager or not, he's waiting out there for you. Okay. By the way, in the middle of this, during this message, he's going to launch satanic attacks. Okay. And some of you, he does it too at every service, and he's good at it. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to try to do everything he can to distract you and get your mind going somewhere else and get this thought going and daydream about this and give into your, come on, look right up here. Give into your flesh because you're a little tired. And just kind of sit there and be numb and unengaged mentally and spiritually through another sermon. Listen, that's not an accident that you've been lulled to sleep when it comes to preaching. That's a premeditated attack by the devil to try to keep you from getting what... Listen, if there's ever a subject he does not want you to know about, it's the things I'm going to talk about tonight. But if you don't understand your enemy, you're going to have a hard time beating him. Okay? And so... I want to, as best I can, get your attention, keep your attention. I'll work hard up here if you'll work hard out there. And we'll try to, listen, we need to understand what we're getting ourselves into. Because, folks, the gloves are off. The spirit of Antichrist, I said this, I feel like somebody about a year ago kicked the lid off hell and the spirit of Antichrist come flooding out across America. And this is going to get super real. It's already getting real. We're really protected in our area more than you know. We'll get away from Jacksonville, Indiana a little bit, get into churches that are in the larger cities, and some of those churches, and we're going to talk about tonight, satanic strongholds, and there are satanic strongholds in the United States of America. We'll explain those things, but some of these men are already battling. I mean, when Courtney Lewis is preaching the gospel and the Chicago police, along with the representative of the sodomite mayor of Chicago, she sends a representative along with the police, and while he's preaching the gospel, they're beating on the back door of the church, then I think we better wake up a little bit, okay? Because, we keep hearing these stories from afar. Don't think that we're not going to have to deal with these type of situations eventually here. So anyway, I hope I have your attention. Bible says this, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I want to just stop again and say this. I don't want anything that comes out of my mouth to make anybody think that Jerry Ross is stronger than the devil. But I do know how to beat the devil. Okay, I know how to, the Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. I know how to resist him. And I know how to win. Okay, you need to learn how to win. We've got too many Christians, every time the devil puts a little pressure on them, brings the smallest temptation in your life, you just fold like a lawn chair and give in to it. Okay, you don't have to live that way. Okay, there's a better way to live. Okay, stop letting him beat you. He's a defeated foe. But we have to do this in the power of God's might. Be strong in Jerry Ross. That is never going to work. He's going to win every time. But be strong in the Lord. And in the power of his might, we'll talk a little bit about that. Why are we going to put the emphasis on putting on the whole armor of God? Why? Verse 11, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, this is speaking of the devil. It's talking about Satan. But then he expounds that verse 12 and informs us he's not fighting against us by himself. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We'll break those things down in just a bit. Go, if you will, back to Revelation chapter number 12. And folks, get ready to do a Bible study. I want to hear the pages turning. Yes, use your Bible. Use your Bible. Let's look at some things. Revelation chapter number 12. I want you to look at the verses. I want you to see them. We're going to slow this thing down a bit. We're going to have you look at a lot of things, but I need the Bible to convince you. I need you to look at it, and I need you to see it. In Revelation, I'm stuck on Hebrews. What is with that? Revelation chapter 12, verse 3, it says, "And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon." By the way, that's Lucifer. That's the devil. "Having 7 heads, 10 horns, 7 crowns upon his head, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born." There it is. The devil has tricked, deceived 1/3 of the angels of heaven and enlisted them in his army. And you know what? He positions himself to do battle against the coming Christ. You know, he did everything he could to try to keep Jesus from Golgotha's hill. He did everything he could to try to keep Jesus from rising from the dead. But you know what? He's no match for my Savior. You know what? He can't stop that now. The gospel story is completed, and the salvation is available to all mankind. And so now he's repositioned himself to fight against the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's going to do everything he can to keep us from carrying out Jesus' last marching orders, and that's to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And so he's going to do what he can, okay? He hates a fervent Christian. He hates an effective Christian. He hates a soul-winning Christian. He hates a witnessing Christian. What he'd like to do is destroy your life. And I mean make an utter shambles of it. I mean make a shame of it. Get you completely out of church, get you on drugs, get you on dope, get you in a whoremonger's lifestyle, ruin your testimony, destroy your family. That's what he'd like to do. And by the way, there's good people that have sat in this pew that never thought it would happen to them. And guess what? What I just described is their life right now. He did it. So don't think it can't happen to you. I shouldn't think it couldn't happen to me. But a lot of times, if he can't get that done, he will just simply be satisfied in neutralizing your effectiveness for the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, if he can't get you all the way cold, he'll take lukewarm. And if he can just keep you from making impact for the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, he doesn't like it, but he'll be okay with you coming into church and sitting down and enduring another service and going home and never touching your Bible, never praying, never passing out a gospel tract, never bringing anybody to church, never having influence for Jesus Christ. If he can't utterly destroy you, he's going to try to at least neutralize you. Now, folks, what I'm trying to do tonight is enlist you in the army. Okay, some of you have never been in the army, get in the army. Some of you used to be in the army, get back in the army. You're AWOL, get back in the army. And that means that we have a very purposeful plan, operation occupation. That sounds military. It is military. Jesus said, "Occupy till I come." That's a military term. Okay, you had in World War II, you had occupied France and unoccupied France. What did that mean? That means the Germans took over part of France. They occupied what was their enemy territory. We need to be occupying and attacking satanic strongholds. Come on, Brother James, we're getting ready to send you. Buddy, we better give him the prayer support he needs. Come on, folks, thank you for sacrificing. Thank you for giving. And honestly, mercy, saints. You know, we raised that money during January and February above and beyond what the goal was. And we're going to do, but listen, that's good. We're going to have to do it. But I will tell you, he needs our prayer support more than he needs anything. You might hear a missionary say that. You think, well, that's what missionaries say. They say, listen, even if you don't put us up for support, the most important thing is prayer support. You think, well, they're saying that, but they really think, no, if you've been on the mission field, they mean it. They mean it because they're involved in spiritual warfare. You want to know about spiritual warfare, talk to our missionaries. Read the missionary letters, folks. There's a lot of those countries right back there. You think about the prison ministry. Did you hear that letter? Were you listening to that letter that was read? You realize the devil's done something across our country that has shut out the majority of our jail and prison ministries? You know, folks, we still can't restart yet a lot of the nursing home ministries. You think of all of our elderly people that's passed in the last year without the comfort of a preacher, without a service to go to once a week to listen to the Bible. Now listen, they may be able to tune in on the radio and do a few things, but when you talk about inmates in prison, they are isolated in an entirely different way, and all of the evil, and you know what? Think about what the enemy is doing to try to shut down any light that is being shown into certain arenas where we've always been able to shine the light. All of a sudden, you know what? We're under attack. The Church of Jesus Christ is under attack. And so we have the devil. We have his plan. And let me tell you something. He doesn't lack dedication. Let me say this. You're going to see it tonight. He doesn't lack organization. Okay? His followers are loyal. Come on, his followers are busy and active. They're not compromising. They're not quitting. They're not taking steps backwards. And so what we've got to do is listen, as the devil continues to up his game as the end gets near, we've got to be willing as a church to up our game. And so I want you to understand that it's just not the devil that we're facing. Say, preacher, how many is a third of the angels? Well, I don't know an exact number. I will tell you this, devils are many. Hebrews 12:22 says, but ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. Now, when we try to go to the Word of God and say, how many angels are there? The only number I've been able to come up with is this, innumerable. That's the only thing that's printed in the Bible. I don't know what one third of innumerable is, but I think we'd all be satisfied to say that we are fighting against a large army. Okay, this isn't, you know, the devil and, you know, five of his cohorts. I believe there's thousands upon thousands, tens of thousands of fallen devils. You say, preacher, where are they? Many devils, by the way, are active here on earth doing the bidding of their evil master, but not all of them. God was gracious. Some devils are chained, waiting judgment. Jude chapter 1, verse 5, and the angels which kept not their first estate but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. By the way, I won't go into this, but if you read Hebrews 9, the first 11 verses, some devils who are now chained will be released during the tribulation period. You ought to be glad that God was merciful that all of those one-third of innumerable angels weren't unleashed upon our world, and that God saw fit to chain some of them away. And then there are plenty. And you know, if you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you see that Jesus is dealing with a lot of demonic activity. You know what? Satan knew he could read the Old Testament prophecies. He didn't know exactly when, but Satan knew that Jesus was coming the first time, and he began to up his game. It's amazing how many people were afflicted, oppressed, possessed by demons during Jesus' day. Well, if that was what the devil did prior to his first coming, why wouldn't he do it prior to his second coming? And so what we're going to see is more and more demonic attacks, more and more demonic activity. So there's many devils that are active here on earth today. The Bible says this, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. And so, folks, please listen to what I'm going to say. There are people that are departing from the faith. There always has been. There's an increased number as we get towards the last days of good, solid, faithful Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, soul winning Christians that all of a sudden are just going off the reservation, just quitting on God, going into a different type of a church, finding the easy path, finding a place where nothing's required of them. They're not going to have to hear about the kind of things we're going to preach on. They just kind of, you know, taking a spiritual vacation. They go enough to say, I'm going to church. Well, I'm going to church. Well, I'm going to church. But they're doing, listen, they've been neutralized, doing nothing for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you have to be careful because there are in these last days that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Okay, so there's Bible doctrines and there's doctrines of devils. Doctrine simply means teachings. There are some things that are devilish and demonic, certain teachings, certain philosophies that's being presented to Christians all of the time. and they are being presented by so-called other Christians. You got to be very careful what you're reading on the internet. You got to be very careful which podcast you decided you're going to plug into. Well, I heard this guy's pretty good. Listen, folks, he can be pretty good on 90% and off on 10. And next thing I know, you know what? You're a compromiser. You're neutralized. You're done. Okay, there's a guy named Steven Anderson. I'm going to mention his name. But there's certain men that have gotten a big internet following, and he's dangerous. He's a mid-tribber. I listen to you say, well, he's strong on the King James Bible. He can be strong on the King James Bible. He'd be off on some other things. He's a mid-tribber. You start listening to him. Next thing you know, you're going to come to me saying, well, preacher, you know, maybe Jesus doesn't come till halfway. No. We're not changing what the Bible said, what it's always said, what we've always believed. But you know what? There it is. Just getting people to relax. You know what they're doing? It's getting Christians to spend more time turning into preppers instead of soul winners. They've convinced a whole bunch of them they've got to endure the first 3.5 years. If I thought that, I'd probably spend a lot more time getting ready to try to survive the first 3.5 years than I would going out there and getting people ready, knowing that the next event on the prophetic calendar is the imminent. What's that mean? Anytime coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be careful who you're listening to. Be careful who you're following after. And so these devils are active here on earth. There's a certain amount of many of them chained. There's some that are active now. Despite the many devils that are chained and awaiting judgment, folks, listen, there's still untold thousands of fallen angels who roam the earth fighting the Lord's church. I've often said this, and I believe it. I think on the average Sunday morning, if we could just have the veils that are covering our eyes, the veils that are preventing us from seeing the invisible creation, if we could just have them fall off for 15, 20 seconds on a Sunday morning at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, I'd never have to ask you to pray again. I'd never have to beg you to pray again. You know, folks, listen to me. The devil fights every aspect of everything that's going on around here. Say, preacher, why pastor's prayer team? Why is it so important that we pair up? Why pray before every service? Why? Because you know what? We need God. We are in spiritual battle for the souls of men. Listen to me. The devil hates Blessed Hope Baptist Church. The devil launches endless attacks against Blessed Hope Baptist Church. The devil is trying to disrupt Sunday school teachers, trying to disrupt your Sunday school class. Doesn't want the children to listen, doesn't want the children to hear. Come on, be careful, bus captains, be careful. Boy, if there's a ministry that we're so blessed to have, but also one that can be so dangerous, we have to do things right in the bus ministry. We have to be careful drivers in the bus ministry. We can take something that's good, and the devil just, you know, why is it important that we, you know, dot our I's, cross our T's, do things right, pick up kids a certain way, follow the speed limits? You know what, folks, think about it. Just one moment. One tragedy, listen, in interacting with children, dealing with children, we've got to be, what are we doing? I believe the devil is that roaring lion walking around seeking whom he may devour. And he'd love to destroy the bus ministry of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. So listen, you can't go into a weekend, bus captains, not prayed up. You can't go out on Saturday, bus workers, without the armor of God. Got to be super alert, super careful in our interacting with people, because the devil never rests. Go to Mark chapter number 3. So the devils, number one, are many. And I'm using the word devils because that's the Bible word. You won't find the word demon in the Bible. The Bible refers to what we sometimes call demons as devils. There is the devil, and then there are devils. Just like I've been teaching in Sunday school, there is the Antichrist, but there are, the Bible says, many Antichrists. And so Mark chapter number 3, Jesus is teaching something. He was accused of being used of the devil, of being an agent of the devil. Mark chapter 3, verse number 22, Jesus says, "And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, he hath Beelzebub." Listen to this accusation. Woo! Imagine that. "Scribes which came down from Jerusalem said," he, talking about Jesus, "hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of devils casteth he out devils." Now that's a brilliant explanation. Brilliant explanation, you know. So people are saying, hey, if he's not the Messiah, why is it that unclean spirits bow to him? Why is it when he commands them, they obey? Why is it that somebody that's possessed and their life is a mess can interact with Jesus and we come back and find them clothed and in their right mind? If he's not the Messiah, then why does he have this amazing power over the devils? So they went back and they scratched their head. We got to figure out a way to answer this. And some little brilliant, you know, moron in the bunch decided this was the best argument they had, which I think Jesus smiled when he heard their argument, okay? He hath Beelzebul. Let me tell you why he can do this. This is what they were literally saying. You talk about blasphemy. What they were saying is he's demon-possessed. He's controlled by Beelzebub. He's an agent or a tool of Satan. And then he said this, by the prince of the devils casteth he out devils. So what they're saying is Jesus is using the power of Satan to control and dictate to his underlings what they can, what they need to do. What an accusation against the Lord Jesus Christ. And he called them unto him and said unto them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end. And so what Jesus was saying was, of course, a logical answer and also a true answer. And notice what he said there. He said, let me tell you something. Satan is not divided against himself. He was saying if he did, his kingdom wouldn't stand. And that means he rules with an iron fist. That means that, you know what, his underlings are loyal to him. Okay, when he tells them to go do something, they go and do it. When he tells them, encourages them to wreak havoc, they try to wreak havoc. Okay, he's never had to pull a devil in and say, what are you doing? Did you switch sides? Why in the world did you encourage that person to get saved? You know, he's never had that problem of, watch this, of disloyalty. He's never had that problem. You know what? A kingdom that's divided against itself cannot stand. Why is it that the devil works so hard to try to create division in the church of Jesus Christ? Because if we're divided, then we're going to be ineffective. For divided that we cannot stand. That's why, look right up here, let me help you. That's why you have a pastor. That's why you need to follow your pastor. That's why you need to follow the pastor's program and get involved in the pastor's program. You know why? Because if everybody's decided, we're all going to be chiefs, and nobody wants to be an Indian, then we'll all walk around bickering with each other, nothing will be getting done, and the devil's back in the back corner laughing his head off. And that is the state of the average church in Greene County, Indiana. Okay? They'll bring a preacher in. They'll give him a six-month honeymoon. And then they'll start attacking him and tearing him apart. And you know what? Everybody in there's got their own ideas. And nobody's teachable. And nobody wants to be organized. And nobody wants to sign up. And nobody wants to get involved. And finally, they'll kick him out after about three. This is American Baptist Convention. This is Southern Baptist Convention. This is how they treat their men of God. There's a reason we came out of all of that. Listen, there's poison in the pot, okay? And so what we did was we come out of all of that. And that's why, you know what, if we're going to be effective, then what we've got to do is, I hate to say this, but we could learn something here from the devil. We could learn something from the devils, because if Satan rises up against himself, he understands that he then is divided and he cannot stand. That's why all of you look up here. How many senior pastors are there at Blessed Hope Baptist Church? Thank you. Thank you. One, not two, not three, not three different programs, three different philosophies, three different ideas. And I know Brother Gordon's got my back, and I know Brother Young's got my back, and I'm not saying this to correct them. I'm saying this to keep some of you who love to try to get secondary leadership to do something opposite of what the pastor is. You better look at your heart. Okay, because whether you know it or not, you can be a very, very good person and still be being used of the devil if you're not careful. Okay, be careful. Okay, speak up. Back your preacher. Somebody comes to you and wants to begin to question something, say, wait a minute. Just ask them, whoa, stop. How long have you pastored? Did God call you to be our pastor? Okay, then what are you doing? If you've got a problem with pastor, why don't you go see pastor? Why are you coming to me? They're coming because they're trying to spread division, discord amongst the brethren. Folks, listen to me. I'm not perfect. I've told you that. You know that. But you know what? I'm going to defend the office of pastor. If it's going to work, it's got to work this way. And so you can spend the rest of your life, if you want to, sitting out there being critical and trying to stir up division. But or you could hit an old-fashioned altar, get right with God, put away that spirit of rebellion, and join in and become a part of something amazing and miraculous. It's called the local church, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? So be careful about that. The devils are loyal to Satan and work together to do his bidding. How sad the devils can be loyal and work together while many church congregations are disloyal to their pastor and uncooperative in their efforts to evangelize. Number three, we're going to look at the organization of the devil. I'm going to have you go back to Ephesians chapter 6. I want to get to this part of the sermon tonight. We're going to go back and look at this. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You say, are those different things? Yes, they are. They're different parts of the devil's way of organizing his attacks against the local New Testament church, against preachers and against congregations, okay? The devils are organized. The word principalities there means magistrates. Satan has ruling magistrates, which means that he's basically, when he left heaven, looked at the way God organized his angelic beings, and he's also decided he's going to steal those organizations. He can't come up with anything better than what God's doing. He's just perverting what God's already done. And so we know that God created all of the angels, but he has archangels, three archangels, and we know that he has angels. If you'll study this matter of the Lord's angels, of angels that were loyal to God, there's different angels that have different abilities or used for different purposes. When the devil got kicked out of heaven, he did so because he wanted to be God. He said, I'm going to create my own little army and I'm going to steal the battle plan from the Lord. So he has ruling magistrates. This means that some devils oversee large divisions of followers. The devils are organized in a very, very military fashion. And so I don't know how many of these there are, but there are principalities. There are devils that are more powerful than some of the underlings. They have more responsibility. They control little groups, platoons, if you will, of devils. So they're organized in military fashion. The word powers there, against powers. Some devils have delegated influence and mastery. That's what you study, that word powers. Now, I'm going to liken these devils to the elite forces. I believe these devils are not confined to any specific location. We're going to find where some of them are assigned to specific geographical locations. But this is the SEAL team. This is the Green Berets. Okay, this is the elite force. This is Delta Force. These devils, these powers that have unusual influence and mastery are sent by the devil to specific hot spots, if you will, just like our military does the same thing. They're first responders. They're elite groups. They're the ones that parachute in. They're the tip of the spear. Let's suppose a revival begin to break out at Blessed Oak Baptist Church. You know what? Those in charge of geographically watching over this area, some of those magistrates would soon be in contact with the devil, and he'd say, we need some elite forces. By the way, I think that that's happened over and over again. You'll see that when God sends revival, there's no devil in the world that can stop it. But that does not mean that they don't immediately begin to fight against it. Come on, show me one perpetual revival that started and is still going today. Well, then why aren't they? Because you know what? The devil's good at what he does. And it seems like, you know, maybe for a while he can't stop what the Holy Spirit's work and the full surrender of the people involved. And man, all of a sudden a group of people got it and sold out and went for it and God blessed. And you know what? You see that in Acts chapter number 2. But you know what you see in Acts chapter number 5? A very orchestrated attack against the church of Jerusalem that was exploding. And then soon, you know what you saw? Persecution and the scattering of it. But what the devil meant for evil, God meant for good. If God allows something, he's always 300 steps, 3,000 steps ahead of the devil. But the devil is going to look for those type of places. And, you know, I can tell you stories. You can tell me stories of churches that saw great revival. And for a time, God was there and amazing things were happening. Maybe they have a year or two or three or 5 year run where it's just like, and then all of a sudden, you know what? The devil just buys his time and he sends in his elite forces. And you know what he'll do? He'll just start trying to pick off one person at a time. He always goes after leadership first. If he can't do that, get after that. And he'll start influencing key members, key people. Next thing you know, he gets an inroad here. He gets an inroad there. Hey, it may take months. It may even take years. But you know what? He's been doing this a long time. And what he's going to do is try to eliminate that revival spirit and get that church back down. Come on, how many times have I been traveling and some preachers say, hey, do you want to go see such and such preacher's old auditorium? I got a call from a preacher that pastors up near Winona Lake. Well, it was Brother McSpadden. And he said, Brother Ross, sometimes I'd like you to come up and we can go to Winona Lake campgrounds. We can go to the old Billy Sunday home, Billy Sunday auditorium. And folks, we could walk on the grounds. Listen, this happened in northern Indiana. Okay, one of the greatest revival hotspots for years and years and years was Winona Lake, Billy Sunday campgrounds, unbelievable meetings, unbelievable things. Walk them down. Show up there now. Say, what happened? You know what? What happened was the devil launched a counterattack and the church and the people weren't ready for it. And so, you know what? Be careful. I mean, you know, the fact, this is why I'm burdened about this. Listen, let me talk to Blessed Hope Baptist Church for a minute. Listen to me. We're getting ready to celebrate the 50th anniversary of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I will tell you this. Number one, it is really miraculous that a church that was started a certain way has kept the same stands, same Bible, same music, same everything for 50 years. Show me how many churches have done that. Okay, so God's been very good to us. And I think that you ladies that are prayer warriors, you know what? You help build that hedge around you. You children that pray for your church and pray for your pastor. You men that have stood guard with me. But folks, listen to me. It's not like the devil couldn't get in year 51 or 52 or 53. Matter of fact, we're not at 50 yet. Say, preacher, why? Seems like you overreact. No, I don't overreact. If I do anything, sometimes I underreact. But I want you to be careful. And don't let the devil get a foothold in your life. Hey, listen, this is a miracle place. So come and be a part of the miracle. Figure it out. I want you here, but I want you to, you know, how many of you have heard me say this? Okay, you've said it. Say, you know what? We love immigrants. And if they'll come in legally, then this is how America's always been. We welcome them if they'll come. There's a way to become a citizen. And when you come here, what we want you to do is become an American. Isn't that true? Okay, not a Mexican-American or an Afro-American or a Italian-American. We want you to be an American, you know? And when I say is, you know, sometimes God moves somebody from some other church and they come here. That's great, you know, and that's a lot. That's God's will. Sometimes it's God's will. Okay, but if all you're ever going to do is walk around talking about your old church and the way you always used to do something, then go back to your old church if it was that great. Why don't you become a Blessed Hoper? Okay, integrate in, figure it out. We don't get everything right, but you know what? If you look around on average Sunday, pretty miraculous things are happening around here. And so, you know what? If I'm going to a church, I'm going to this church. I'm going to get on board with their program. I'm going to listen to the preacher. I'm going to listen and follow. I'm going to get involved, roll my sleeves up, get busy, do it. You know, so devils are loyal and devils are organized. Talk about this elite force. Think about that, folks. Now, you understand the devil's, that's what he does. He's looking all the time for hot spots. He's looking for little flames of revival that pop up in this community or that community. And this is what he do. He sends those powers, these devils that have delegated influence and mastery. And then we have rulers of the darkness of this world. Satan has geographically placed satanic rulers. This is talking about geographically placed satanic rulers. Remember, unlike God, the devil is not omnipresent. Let me stop there. I think you understand it, but let me just make sure you just heard that. Doesn't mean that the devil is everywhere. God is ever, can be everywhere. God was in every church. Jesus was in every church this morning. Two or three are gathered together in my name. He said, there am I in the midst of them. The devil can't do that. He's got to choose one place to be this Sunday morning. He only has one place. And by the way, the devils are not omnipresent. And so because of that, what he has to do is he has to have geographically placed satanic rulers. That means he assigns, I believe, certain devils of great power to certain countries. I think he assigns them to different regions of the country. I think he assigns them to different states. I think he assigns some to different counties and cities. I think that there is a ruler of darkness of this world that is in charge of Greene County. By the way, I guarantee you there's an intensity of attack in this county. I look across southern Indiana. Again, I've studied this, folks. Listen, I've driven through almost every city in southern Indiana. I personally visited almost every city in southern Indiana. I mean, did the research on it, got out, walked its streets, prayed over it. And I'm telling you, I don't know of another county in southern Indiana where you can go to where there are so many King James Bible gospel preaching churches. We just have this unusual concentration of churches in this area, which means that the devil is going to concentrate some attacks in this area. He also has, we're going to talk about this, strongholds, spiritual wickedness in high places. These are supernaturally depraved plotters. They're in charge of coordinating attacks upon godly strongholds. There's satanic strongholds, there's godly strongholds. Now, trust me, I know our area's got its share of problems, but I would sit down at the table one time with several preachers that's within about three counties of here, or within a county or two of here, and I said, gentlemen, if you'll think about the density of population in this rural area and how many, if we added all of our attendants together, are coming to every Sunday morning a King James Bible, soul-winning emphasis, Independent Fundamental Baptist Church, I'm going to tell you, for the population density, a remarkable thing is happening here. Okay, that's why I'm not going to go to war with Doug Castle. I'm not going to go to war with John Riker. I'm not going to go to war with Dan Kent. Well, maybe every once in a while. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to love these brethren and fight with them and fight beside them and support them and pray for them and befriend them and encourage them. I believe pastors in the area ought to be really close friends. I think they ought to have each other's back. You know what? At the same time, we all do our own thing. And our churches, they've got their own ministry, own emphasis. Some do different things than we do. We do some things different than they do. But you know what? We're all on the same team, okay? And the devil knows it. But I can also take you to two and three county areas in southern Indiana where maybe there's one church. Sometimes no church. The county Brother James is going into, folks, it's not like he's going to go in there and steal a bunch of people's sheep, because there's no King James Bible preacher in his county. And we're looking for these. Listen, if there can be a spiritual stronghold, godly stronghold, there can be an ungodly stronghold. And there are parts of even this area where we have, I'm going to tell you, I'm careful because, you know, we're on live stream, and I want to be careful sometimes what I say, but you know what? Listen, you pray for Brother Gerald Clanny. Listen, when we started, took over that church and kind of rebirthed it and planted a new church there, folks, the eastern side of Greene County has been a satanic stronghold. I'm going to say it out loud, okay? If some preachers are over there listening, they need to understand that they're either part of the solution or part of the problem. Okay, but there are satanic strongholds even in our area here. I told Brother Clanny that when he went over there. I said, I'm telling you, you're going to some place where traditionally it has been a tough area to break into, a tough area to get a church started, a tough area to see people saved. Folks, if me and him went visiting, I want you to get this. If me and him went visiting for 2 hours, 3 hours, he went on his side of Greene County, I went on my side of Greene County, and we call and compare notes, you cannot believe the difference of the hostility towards God, towards churches, towards a preacher that he's encountering, that I'm encountering. That's why you've got to be very careful in judging, you know. I mean, for a church to run 50 or 60 in some areas of that is a satanic stronghold is more of a victory than maybe you'll understand. Okay, so be careful about judging areas. You know, Brother Clark that preached here, John Clark down in Vincennes, called me up. I called him up when we were getting ready to start the church in Princeton. He's one of the first men I called and talked to. And he said, "Brother, I'll just tell you, traditionally, Princeton has been a graveyard for preachers, you know." And you know what? We knew going in, Brother Reiser was going to face a challenge. And he is facing a challenge. And you know what? God's blessing. Listen, just because it's a satanic stronghold don't mean we should not attack it. The Bible says the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Plant a church in a stronghold. But that man better have the armor on. And his family better have the armor on. Because it's not, listen, we're not playing games here. And you know the reason a lot of times churches get planted in these areas and then they don't make it after 2 or 3 years is because of a direct satanic attack against that family, against that pastor, sometimes the pastor's wife, sometimes the pastor's children. Wherever he can find a chink in the armor, he's going to hit that spot. And that's why church, that we, when we plant a church, we've got to get behind it financially. We've got to get behind it with prayer. We've got to get behind it in support. We've got to love that family and stay in contact with that family. You know, just about every Sunday, I'll get ready to pull out Sunday morning here. And you know what I'll do? I'll open my phone, and Brother Reiser is an hour behind us, okay? And I'll turn it on, and I'll catch about 10 minutes of his sermon while I'm driving between here and home and just listen to him preach. And you know what I do? I just pray. I just love to hear him preach. I love to see. You know what? He sent me pictures this afternoon, and they're out in front releasing balloons. So somewhere there's White River Baptist balloons meeting up with Blessed Hope Baptist balloons somewhere up there. And he just put a little note, said, "Preacher, thank you for all the great ideas that you've come up with over the years. And we're just carrying it on." He had a picture of his family all in their Easter outfits. And he sent that to me. And, you know, David Knapp sent me a text this afternoon, had a record attendance since he's been there in the church. And this, it is in Rock Island. I think I keep saying Rockford, it's Rock Island. But Rock Island. He had 91 today. 91 today. Folks, he showed up, I don't know, what did he have, 15, 20? I mean, I know COVID and stuff, but I mean, 91 today. Jesse McCammon set an attendance record in Flora since he's been there with 87 in attendance today. And he said they had 12 in the nursery. And I said, what a great Sunday, except for the nursery workers. That's what I sent him the text. You know, everybody had a great Sunday except for the nursery workers. But you know what? Hey, can it still be done? Yes. Is it a war? Is it a battle? Yes. Yes. It can't be done in our power. Can't be done in our might. Okay, because the devil's just too organized for that. So the devils are organized. The devils create satanic strongholds. Listen, folks, listen to me. This is why I'm just begging you. I'm going to stop just, okay, I'm just going to open myself up. And if you want to attack, attack. But I am begging you to stop getting caught up in petty, silly stuff around here. I'm tired of people coming to me with stuff that don't amount to a hill of beans. And yet it's the most important thing in your life. I can't get you to knock doors. I can't get you. But you know what? You'll find some little thing and just peck at it and pick at it. And okay, you know, I guess I'll stop what I'm doing and take care of whatever little thing that's just going to bother you till the next little thing bothers you, and then you get preacher's attention again. Or you could put on some stinking armor, and you could stand beside me, and you could go to war. Okay, it's time we grew up and became soldiers. Soldiers. Okay, I've got enough enemies. I got enough devils attacking me. I've got enough devils trying to distract me. What I need is a congregation that, number one, prays for me. Number two, has my back. Okay? Number three, listens and gets involved and plugged into what we're trying to accomplish around here. Okay? Listen, if we're going to lose this, we're going to lose it because of division. We're not going to lose it because of the fact that leadership hasn't been provided. And so, that offends you, get offended and get over it. Okay? Listen, I don't need to be warming up bottles, passing out passies, and making sure that I spend time looking for your blankie. Okay, the nursery's back here, it's not up here. All right. Let's take it to the devil. Let's go to war against the devil. Let's steal some of his kids. Okay? And let's let the petty stuff remain the petty stuff. Okay? Devils are organized. They create satanic strongholds. Last verse I'll have you turn to, and then we'll pick up where we left off next time we meet. Okay? Hey, I'm going to be gone next Sunday. Okay? I'm going to miss every once in a while service because I'm out preaching. I need 100% support from my congregation on that. I don't need any murmuring, complaining, rolling of eyes, sarcastic, smart aleck comments when I come back. I need prayer. I need support. I need you to understand I'm doing 100% what God has called me to do. Okay? You're not smarter than me. You don't know God's will for my life. You don't know God's plan for my life. Okay? We have plenty of people pitching, good people, covering the pulpit when I'm gone, preaching the word of God when I'm gone. Get behind it. Stop pecking away at stuff. Okay? All right? Devils create strongholds of Revelation chapter 2, okay? Verse number 12. Revelation 2, verse number 12. Bible says this, and to the angel of the church of Pergamos write, Revelation 2, 12, let you get there. To the angel of the church of Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works and where thou dwellest. Wow, I know thy works and where thou dwellest. So a geographical location. Then this comma, even where Satan's seat is. Wow. So while the devil's here on earth, over the eons of time, he has chosen a place where he's going to put that seat means throne. This is where he's going to rule from. At this point in time, he was in Pergamos. He's not there anymore. Church of Pergamos that was there has now been destroyed. He can move on. Okay, go to Pergamos and find me a church. All right, so, but even where Satan's seat is, that and thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. Wow. So is there any coincidence here that the seat of Satan where he has the strongest influence, they're killing Christians? I don't know where Satan's seat is today, but I know this. He has created strongholds. He has a stronghold himself where his throne is today. I don't know where it's at. Sometimes I look around and wonder if it's not in Washington, D.C. But if it's not just where he's at, but where some of his magistrates, some of his chief rulers also have strongholds set up. I talked to a preacher that pastored in New Orleans, outside of New Orleans. And what's the party district down there in New Orleans? What's it called? I know. Yeah, Mardi Gras, but there's a certain area, neighborhood of French Quarters. And this preacher told me, he said, it was an evangelist that was preaching near New Orleans. And he said, I thought to myself, he wanted to show me some places around New Orleans. And he said, it was during the day, one night when they were partying and stuff. But he said, I'd like to see the French Quarters. And he said, the preacher kind of looked at him and said, I don't even like driving there. And he said, well, preacher, he said, no, I'm going to drive you through because you need to know why. He said, he looked at me, this evangelist looked at me, and he said, Brother Ross, when our car got in that neighborhood and started going down that street, he said, literally the hair on my neck stood up and hair on my arm stood up. And he said, you know what, goosebumps. He said, you could feel an evil, satanic presence. And he said, I looked over at that preacher and said, get me out of here. Get me out of here. By the way, go to Las Vegas, you'll feel the same thing. By the way, I feel it when I walk in the State House. I feel it when I walk in the State House. You know why? Because that's a key battleground. I'm not saying there aren't good men there. Thank God for Eric Miller. Thank God for Bruce Borders. Thank God for... But I'm telling you, they are the minority. When I did Capital Connection and I went out there with Brother Harding, and you know what? I walked into our... into the halls of Congress to meet with our congressman, I could feel it. I could sense it there. When I was a youth pastor here, we'd take our kids to different neighborhoods here, and we'd, you know, the same thing Brother Gordon's doing, just taking the teens and hitting the towns. You know, there's certain towns. I'm not going to say it from the pulpit here, but there's certain towns. Well, you know what? I'm just telling you, I can sense it. I can feel it. And there's a hostility in the people. And there's other towns. So you're always going to have a few bad visits here and there. Somebody gives you a hard time. But I mean, There's some of them. There's some of them that I would say, I don't want two girls and two girls on one street. I want two guys and two girls. Guys, I want you to visit, but I want you to watch the girls. Because I had a sense of it. I was the first time we visited for Victory Baptist Church. I was going to tell you this earlier, and I'm over there knocking on doors. I've done about four blocks, and I'm knocking on doors, and I'm telling you the increased oppression, spiritual oppression that I felt in Bloomfield, Indiana, almost overwhelming, to the point where I stopped, got on my knees on the sidewalk, began to plead the blood of Jesus Christ, began to pray and ask God, if we're going to reach this town, Lord, you're going to have to help us break through this. 3 houses later, I got to lead somebody to Christ. I'm just telling you, you're not going to win it without this. Okay, and there are satanic strongholds that we need to attack. And I tell you every once in a while, not a lot, but I tell you about the miracle of the First Baptist Church bus ministry in the years that I was at Howes Anderson College. It's amazing that, 18 through 22-year-olds would go up into inner city Chicago. And if you have never walked those streets, there's a different, you always feel the satanic oppression, but there's a different Chicago from the daytime and the nighttime. When that sun sets, that entire thing changes and switches over. I've been on the mission field with missionaries, and I've gone to certain neighborhoods with them and felt like a satanic oppression. I had certain streets on my bus route. Even within my bus route in Chicago, there was a couple streets that, you know what, I could hardly ever get anybody out of. And every time I got on those streets, there was a satanic oppression. And there was two of those streets, or one of those streets later on, that I found out that there was two witches that lived, one in one house, one in the other. You can believe it, don't believe it, one of my bus workers were busy, knocked on one of their doors, was trying to talk to them about it. They start hissing and cackling like an animal. And he said, "Preacher, this is my bus worker." And I don't know if I've ever even told this story because, I don't want to play into the hype. I don't want to glorify Satan. But he said, while I'm talking to this lady and while she's hissing and cackling like an animal, he said, I literally behind her watched the lamp on one of the tables fly up against the wall and break. And he said, I turned around and walked away. Now, folks, if you think that this thing isn't real, you need to understand it's real. Okay? And in the days of leaving your house without the armor of God, we can't do this anymore because it's going to get harder and harder and harder. The devil's amping it up. He's unleashing the attacks. We'll say, "Preacher, are you trying to scare us?" I'm trying to scare you into really paying attention because when we get to Ephesians chapter 6, those first 3 verses before they start naming the armor are there for a reason. We're no match for the wiles of the devil. We're no match for the evil day that's on everybody's calendar. And we're no match for the satanic army and the satanic forces outside of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the word of our testimony. And you have to have a martyr's mentality. We'll talk about these things. Heavenly Father, please help us, Lord. We are seeing, and churches are still seeing great victories. And Lord, I think what is happening, Brother Reiser in Princeton and Brother Dave Napuanoa, Rock Island, and Jesse McCammon, since he's gotten to Flora, Lord, there are still young men with a touch of God, the power of God, the armor of God, and their families, and the prayer support of God's people. We can still make a difference. We can still, the Church of Jesus Christ can attack the very gates of hell. But Lord, we're going to have to get a little more serious than I'm afraid we have been, Lord. I believe that there are things that can and should be happening at Blessed Hope Baptist Church that I feel like, Lord, we're kind of stagnant right now. Lord, we've got to get folks enlisted in the army of God. We've got to get folks armored up. Our young people have got to start taking this seriously. The parents need to take it seriously. Those of us that are a little older, it's not time to take off the armor. Lord, I just pray that you'd help us as we continue this series. We pray in Jesus' name. Let's